Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Drop a Deuce podcast. My name, as always, is Daniel Keenis, and I'm here with my co-host, Frank Todd. Frank, how are you doing today?
You know, I'm doing all right, Daniel. How are you doing?
You know what? Suns won yesterday. I'm sad that Mr. Federer lost, but you know what? Overall, I am doing all right. This is like my last week of freedom. I'm kind of sad.
I wish I knew what the fuck that was.
Yeah, you have to wake up like 3:30 every day.
Excuse me?
It's 3:15. Oh, that's right, because you have to make breakfast. Or is that like a midnight snack?
Fuck, dude, you think I make breakfast? I eat a plastic bag of Cheerios in my car when I drive to work.
Honestly, I respect that. I mean, it's multitasking. I respect it.
Here's what I do, Daniel. I go to Costco, and I buy their giant boxes of Cheerios. It's two boxes. It lasts me about a month before it goes stale, and each box is 10 days worth of work breakfasts, so I'm paying like $5 and getting 20 days worth of work breakfast.
I mean, do you have like a drink in the car? Do you have like coffee?
I do water, and then I just do water. I'm not a big coffee guy.
I've been getting into coffee. I've been adding almond milk to my coffee, except for today. Today, I ran out of milk. So I added Malibu, and that was really fun to start the morning.
I mean, here's the thing. I would get too addicted to caffeine. Like, I get addicted to everything, so I try not to do it. But, man, I'll tell you what. I have a water addiction this week. Haha. My company gives us free bottles of water. I think I had 10 bottles of water when I was at work today.
Oh, wait, because it's like this. Wait, what's the...
like seven brands of water. They own a lot. The main one's Aquafina.
Okay, yeah. Does if you work for the company, does that mean you get free, like, is there like free vending machines with all like the goodies?
No, but it's extremely discounted. So like, you know how most vending machines, a soda is probably like $1.50 or $2.
Yeah.
I can get a soda for 89 cents.
Okay, that's not too bad.
It's extremely discounted.
Better than nothing. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So outside of your work-life balance, which is very, very small.
Very depressing.
Yeah. Glad you're able to do this with me, though. So let's start out with my favorite topic, because I am very happy. The NBA Finals, everything going on in the NBA world right now. What are your initial takes?
Can we talk about the more important thing in the NBA? It's not the Suns Bucks, let's be honest here. It's Rachel Nichols. This has been hilarious and entertaining.
Dude, I like how that's almost more important than the NBA Finals right now.
Have you heard the new rumors that have come out?
What happened?
There's been a new Twitter rumor this week, mainly today. Obviously, this is unproven, that she hooked up with Jimmy Butler.
I knew... I thought she fucked whoever it was.
Yes, I knew you were thinking of. There's also the rumor she fucked him, but there's a rumor she fucked Jimmy Butler in the bubble.
Jesus Christ, that's breaking protocol. Honestly, good for Jimmy Butler. Like she's pretty good looking.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely hysterical the way everything's broken down.
This entire thing. First off, like, ESPN is going to stand with Rachel Nichols till the day like she dies. Like,
I don't know. She's going to be put on she'll get the standby, but she's going to be put on like suspension or some shit for a little while. The way that the world is going right now, they can't defend her. I mean, dude, people are getting breaks for everything, and she's not one of them.
Well, yeah. I mean, I didn't know Maria Taylor was that popular.
I mean, it's going to sound bad, but if you look at the Olympics, there are a lot of people who are saying it's racist that the Olympian who tested positive for weed isn't in it. And even she's like, bitch, calm down. I fucked up. Y'all need to stop saying this is racist. It's my fault.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, the Twitter mob is saying it is. And so that's the biggest problem, is ESPN doesn't want to piss off the Twitter mob. Just like... a lot of other
people. Dude, the Twitter mob is very, very, very powerful.
Yes. Yes, it is. They're trying to cancel the Olympics for someone failing a drug test. It's sad. It's really fucked up what happened, but she fucked up and there are consequences.
I mean, yeah, well, the fact that she didn't turn off her Zoom or whatever they were recording on.
Oh, Rachel Nichols. Yeah. Sorry, I thought we were going back to. I always forget her name, but I thought we were talking. I thought you were going with my
Shatara Robinson or something.
Yeah, I always forget. I honestly, I couldn't. Again, we know I don't speak English well on this podcast. I probably wouldn't be able to say her name.
Yeah, I mean, the fact of the matter is there might not be an Olympics at all.
Well, yeah, Tokyo's on lockdown again, I think.
That's so dumb.
I think, let me see if I can find that tweet my friend sent me this morning. It'll take me like 10 seconds.
The U.S. should be like, we'll do it. No, but honestly, if they can't host it this year, they might not be able to host it at all.
They're not going to do a third chance at the Olympics. Like, if they
pick no, there's twice, no way to 2024. Where is the 2024 Olympics?
I have no idea. Yeah. My friend sent me a tweet today. The government declared a state of emergency in Tokyo.
I thought COVID cases were down around the world. Am I wrong?
I don't know, man. There's like 94 variants at this point. Dakota, this is going to sound bad. At this point, I've already spent so many years in a row quarantining and shit. I'm not doing the masks again. I'm vaccinated, and I'm not going to be around a warehouse in 100 degree heat wearing a mask. You can fuck off.
I had to do that at Amazon. We had to like wear our mask, and I had to wear my mask from like 6 p.m. to 5 a.m. for like 2 weeks. I quit very, very early.
Yeah. You can fuck off if you think I'm wearing a mask in a warehouse in 105 degree heat. I'm sorry.
No, God no. God no.
I protect people and I'm going to go to Costco and shit, but yeah, no.
Oh my gosh. Well, okay, so outside from the Rachel Nichols and Maria Taylor ESPN nonsense, did you watch the game last night?
Fuck, now I'd be work at 3 a.m. You think I'm staying up to watch basketball?
Okay, I mean, maybe. Okay, so I went to the bar with my friends for $2. And first off, $2 Tuesday is the greatest.
Boo you.
$2 Tuesday is the greatest invention known to mankind.
Boo you.
$2 burgers, $1 well, or $4 quads. Which, oh, God. Oof, good. Okay, anyway, so I was watching at the bar. And first off, the first thing I noticed that there are a lot of Suns fans now. So a lot of people, I feel like, are rooting for the Suns. Is that because of Pardon My Take? Is that because of...
I mean, it's partly because of Pardon My Take and partly because if you look at every team in the playoffs, there's most teams have one or two players you can say, okay, there's a reason I hate you. There's a reason I don't like you. Yeah. The Suns like, oh, Chris Paul. Oh, he's a villain. But everyone also wants Chris Paul to get a ring. So there's no one to really dislike on the Suns. Plus, you have the blowjob story.
Where that one girl blew the entire team.
It was only seven people.
Only seven people in a hotel. That's talk about team bonding. Jesus Christ. That is absurd. I want to find that story. Like, I feel like she's probably been getting really popular recently because she's the reason why they're doing so well. Also, the Suns, there's no bad publicity on the Suns, which I think is really interesting.
I mean, yeah, because again, the Suns are the likable team. The Suns don't have anything you can really be like, oh, I don't like you.
They're the little engine that could.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, anyway, so that's the first thing I noticed, like, how popular everything is. Also, the Suns really, like, dominated last night. They had five players or four players who scored more than 20 points. So it's like, I always knew they were, like, a balanced team, but a lot more balanced than the Bucks because it was Chris Middleton with 29 and Giannis with 20 last night. And I don't know, like, I don't think the Bucks are – I don't think they're going to last very long in this series. I'm honestly thinking Suns in 4 or 5.
I think Suns in 5. The Bucks will win one at home.
That's what I think. Because, again, I've said many times on this podcast how dominant the Suns are at home. And also, by the way, when the Suns win, so it doesn't matter what day it is, we're having an emergency Suns championship podcast.
Now, it will depend on what day it is. I have a very busy work thing.
Okay, my bad. Anyway, but yeah, no, we're having an emergency Suns podcast or like the day after, and we're coming out with, we're going to have a Suns special. And then that's I'm planning some like fun acts to do on it, and it's gonna be very humorous and witty and cute. But no, so we're gonna have an Emergency Sons podcast. And then I guess, well, shit, what else is there? Wimbledon, yes, yes.
Wimbledon. Let's talk Wimbledon after the break, because it'll be more exciting, and then we can do your usual. Let's talk. Let's see. Stanley Cup playoffs are just boring. Who gives a fuck at this
point? No, if the Knights would have gotten in, I would be like watching all the time, and it'd be super fun. But it's the fact of the matter is the Lightning are so much better than the Canadiens that don't really care, right? Like if every single game the team's favored by like. They like a minus 250 money line. That doesn't make it very fun.
So like, I want to talk about. I want to talk a little bit about the MLB here, because this kind of surprised me today. Yeah. Earlier today, Ohtani passed Hideki Matsui for the most homers in a season by a Japanese-born player, and I thought Matsui hit a lot of homers, but apparently he didn't.
Okay, also, I saw today Stephen A. Smith comparing Ohtani to Babe Ruth.
I mean, they call him the Japanese Babe Ruth. Yeah, that's... Have you been living under a... I mean, I know you don't follow baseball, but I mean, that's been a comparison since the day he came over to the U.S.
But But I remember him struggling in the first, like, 2 years in the
NBA. Yeah, he did. He wasn't great, but he also wasn't terrible. Also, Ohtani already has 31 homers. So, yeah, Matsui did a lot of homers. Jesus Christ.
He has
31 before the All-Star break?
Dude, he can end up with, like, 50.
Jesus Christ. I didn't realize he had that many. I thought it was 26.
Wait, so how much is, like, a lot of home runs in a year? It's like, isn't, like, 30 a lot of home runs in a year?
Here, I'll tell you who the leader was in 2019, the last full season.
I thought it was, like, 56.
There's like 50, like 40 and above, 45 and above is incredible.
Could Ohtani, what's the home run record in a season, like 70?
Oh, yeah, I think it, hold on. I'll Google that first, and then I'll Google, actually, I've already started this. So let me Google 2019 home run leader, and then I'll do that. I think it's McGuan's have the top three. I'm pretty sure it's those guys.
Jesus Christ, those are some
So bombs. The 2019, Pete Alonso led the league with 53 homers.
Oh, so he's only 21 away.
Yeah. And so now the most homers in an MLB season, I want to say it's Bonds.
I want to say 73 sounds right.
It's Bonds with 73. McGuire with 70. Sosa with 66. McGuire with 65. Those are your top four.
And all those guys were on steroids.
Unconfirmed that Bonds was, but yeah, Bonds was 100% on steroids.
It was Bonds in the Hall of Fame yet?
No, he's not, and that's what I was about to ask you. We're on the hot takes section here before we end the break. Should steroid users get in the Hall of Fame?
Yes, because, I mean, they played the sport. They did it in the sport. I think they should have a special steroid section.
So here's my take. If you're not going to put steroids users in the Hall of Fame, then you need to have a new class of writers voting who gets in the Hall of Fame. Because these guys are just bullshit assholes now. None of these people who vote in the Hall of Fame would be where they are if it weren't for the steroid users. They all made their career and made a shit ton of money off talking about people like Bonds and writing about the Sosa versus McGuire home run chase.
Because they're all journalists, yeah, right?
It's all journalists. These people are just hypocritical douchebags when they're voting for, like, oh, we can't put a steroid user in the Hall of Fame. Like, buddy, we all know the steroid users are why you have your career. Let's be real here. Here's the thing. Baseball is obviously the third or fourth most popular, maybe in fifth most popular sport in the U.S. right now. The one thing they do better than everything is they create a second way for people to get in the Hall of Fame called the Players Committee, which is going to put Bonds and Clemens in the first ballot, thankfully.
Also, So there's like a journalist people that vote in. So
yeah, the journalists, you have 10 years on the journalist committee and they're kind of like your main one. But the player committee for the MLB Hall of Fame, when that start? Player committee for MLB Hall of Fame. I want to say it started in 2019. It started recently.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's a 16 former player. Yeah, 2019, and it's basically, it's 16 members of the panel, which includes George Brett, Dennis Eckersley, just to name a couple big ones, and they basically vote on players who get in the Hall of Fame who don't get voted in by the, don't get voted in by the writers.
So they're like, oh, you guys missed so-and-so.
Yeah. So, like, here, I'm going to look this up. Players elected into Hall of Fame by Veterans Committee in MLB. There are some big names. Okay, so let's see. The players they put in were, it's like, Dwight Evans, a pretty big name who got in. Tommy John
was
on the list.
Wait, why wasn't Tommy John in the...
I don't know, but he's on, I'm looking at it right now.
He has a surgery named after him. He's got to be...
Oh, awesome. No, this is from 1987. This is not the right thing.
Yeah, I was about to say. Damn.
Well, where's the one I'm thinking of? I know they have one.
All right, dude, it's no big deal.
Give me 30 more seconds. Give me 30 more seconds.
Well, think of content for 30 seconds, bro.
You talk. Okay, so the big thing in MLB right now is the All-Star break. And I've always hated this, that the All-Star game is on a Thursday. But it doesn't make sense. He put the All-Star game on a Sunday.
Also, Frank, make sure you're not covering your mic up.
I'm not meaning to if I am.
Sometimes you are, but like it's not. Wait, so when is the All-Star game?
It's next Thursday. A week from tomorrow.
Jesus. And the Cubs have not won a game. So actually, it's funny. My sister moved to Chicago like a couple days ago or whatever, and the Cubs have not won a game since she's lived there.
The last game they won was a no hitter.
I know, it's absurd. Ugh. Well,
I'm not gonna find this right now. I'll find it during a break.
All right, I think we take a break and we come back better than ever.
All right, Daniel, first, I need to address this because I'm really stupid. I was right the first time. The first thing I talked about, Veterans Committee, I just misread the article. Tommy John is not in the Hall of Fame. They were voting on people from 1970 to 1987.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, Tommy John is not in the Hall of Fame, and he has a surgery named after him, but he just wasn't that good besides that, apparently. So the two players who got in were Ted Simmons and Marvin Miller.
I don't know who those are.
Yeah, they're not very well known. They're honestly not that well known names. But Dwight Evans not getting in was kind of surprising.
Interesting. Well, you know who else isn't in the Hall of Fame?
You.
That and Roger Federer. So
I mean, Roger Federer will, if there was a tennis Hall of Fame, which I'm
totally there is, but it's like not very prominent.
But I don't think anyone gives a fuck about it.
No, it's in Rhode Island. Like no one. Rhode Island. Why the fuck is it in Rhode Island?
Okay, so it doesn't exist because Rhode Island doesn't exist.
It's in Newport. I mean, I guess it's like a nice place, but why not put it in like an actual, like, you know.
Daniel, Rhode Island doesn't exist.
I'm convinced the Northeast outside of New York and Boston doesn't exist. Like, has anyone ever seen a picture of Maine? Like, it doesn't New Hampshire.
I've been to New Hampshire. It does exist.
Does New Hampshire exist? Like, barely, maybe.
Well, I've been there, so I think so.
Isn't Rhode Island, like, the size of Manhattan?
Yeah,
like,
Rhode
I
Island,
have no idea
Rhode
how.
Island should be a state.
It's tiny. Oh, whatever. Well, anyway. So, Wimbledon has been going on, and so Manic Monday was Monday, and then...
Sorry, I fell asleep because this Wimbledon's been really fucking boring.
Wimbledon's been exciting. I've enjoyed. I feel like there have been a lot of storylines. At least
this is one of the most boring semifinals of a major I can remember, man. Like, listen, I love that we're getting new faces in there, like Shapovalov and Berrettini, but who the fuck wants to watch Hurkacz? I'm sorry. Who cares about him?
Well, I think that's also one thing that I think is really interesting. That's going to be what could be something we could look for within the next 5 years is all of these big names are going to retire soon, right? Like, Federer looks like he honestly could retire today. Djokovic and Nadal are going to be out within, like, the next 5 years.
The only way this is even slightly an interesting tournament is if somehow Djokovic gets upset. Because if he just rolls to win it again, it's who cares?
Well, he's not going to lose a set to Hurkacz. Like, no, wait, no, he doesn't play Hurkacz. He plays
Shapovalov.
Oh, God, he's going to murder Shapovalov.
I think Shapo wins a set and then loses.
He could win, like, the second set or third set or something.
Shapo's been playing pretty good on grass this year. He's had a good run, a couple tough matches this round, five setters. But, I mean, I think he could potentially win a set and then lose three. But, I mean, honestly, the person who's the next best shot in my mind right now is Hurkacz. Which is really funny to say.
What about Berrettini? Berrettini honestly is about to make the finals.
No, Berrettini's going to lose to Hurkacz, man. Berrettini's going to lose that match. As funny as that is to say, Hurkacz looks like the better player right now, and he looked more confident today.
Honestly, Hurkacz, he went out there, and he handled his shit.
He bageled Roger Federer.
Nobody bagels Roger Federer.
When was the last time Roger Federer lost a set 6-0?
I think 2006.
I'm going to look it up.
Well, honestly, if you lose a set 6-0, I think I told you this earlier today. I think he was hurt. I think he hurt his knee. I thought I saw him limping. Like in the tiebreaker, when he slipped on both legs, I think that's when he got hurt. But I have no sources to prove that. That's just my conspiracy theory.
This is the first time Roger Federer's ever lost a set 6-0 at Wimbledon.
I know that, yeah.
I'm trying to find, that's what's coming up right now.
That's like bageling Nadal on clay.
The problem is, when I Google it, the first article is about a match versus Djokovic, where it literally shows that he won a game in every set, which doesn't make any sense.
That's weird.
It looks like it's been a while.
I saw something on this.
This is only the third 0-6 defeat for Federer in a Grand Slam. The last one came in 2008.
Jesus, fuck.
To Nadal on Roland Garros. Not surprised.
Not surprising. But yeah, I think, wow. I saw a statistic on Reddit, and it seemed like it was pretty reliable. The amount of bagels compared to like sets bageled. So like how many times you win 6-0 compared to how many times somebody 6-0s you. And Roger Federer was like 91-3. Or something. It was like he bageled people like 91 times and only been bageled 3 times. I guess now 4. But it had it for like all these people, and like Djokovic's was like 110-5. It was just, I don't know. It's just kind of crazy.
Okay, so I'm looking at a list of all the people who have ever beat Federer on grass. So you're gonna have to bear with me here while I read you the Wimbledon names. It's so small. I mean, there's 24 people in total on grass. Some of the names on this list, man, are ridiculous. Jerry Novak defeated Federer at his first ever Wimbledon. Then you have, God, Yevgeny Kafelnikov defeated Federer at Wimbledon in 2000.
So I know. I'm trying to think if I can think of all the names. Wait, actually, let me guess this.
I already said it. Tim Henman in Wimbledon in 2001.
Okay, so we got Tim Henman. I'm gonna name all the ones that I know.
But you're gonna make it so much harder for me than if you're just reading it, because then I have to scroll further in the list.
The list isn't that far. Okay, well, I'm not gonna listen to you read the entire list.
It's like 10 more names, max.
Okay, fine. Go ahead.
Ancic Mario, a qualifier, defeated Federer in 2002. Nadal in 2008. You had Joe Wilfred Tsonga in 2011. Okay, that's the Olympics. The next one we didn't lose is to Sergei Stakhanovsky. Was that the first round? Had to be.
I think second round.
Djokovic, Raonic, Kevin Anderson, Djokovic, and then you have Hurkacz.
and then Hurcox.
That list is just absurd.
So he either loses to the complete rando or Djokovic.
Hey, Tim Henman was good.
Tim Henman was actually very good.
Tim Henman, how many majors did Tim win?
Five?
He had one. I think he won a couple.
I have no idea.
Is Tim Henman still alive? I feel like I haven't heard his name in it, like, ever.
I believe he's still alive, yes.
He is still alive. I can confirm that on his Wikipedia page. Let's see. Grand Slam single. No, he never won a major.
Really?
Yeah, his best result was semifinals. Wow.
Wasn't he number one in the world? Oh, maybe.
Let's see. No, his highest ranking ever was four.
Oh, so he was really good. He just wasn't great.
He's a Zverev type. Yeah, that's probably the best comparison. I mean, if you're top four in the world, you're very good. If you don't win, like what? Andy Roddick is an incredible player, and he didn't win that many.
Andy Roddick won one.
Yeah, in U.S. Open.
Which is still insane.
Now this just got me going down the rabbit hole of old players. You know who's one of my all-time favorites?
Tell me who's one of your all-time favorites. Leighton Hewitt.
Yeah, Leighton only won two, and I think Leighton's considered one of the best.
Dude, I think it's so crazy how good these guys are. So, like, if we're talking about, like, Zverev or Tim Henman, they're, like, some of the best tennis players in the world. And we're like, oh, they're absolute trash. And they're like, no, they're, like, the fourth best tennis player in the world. That's how I think of it. I think of, like, oh, it's Djokovic and everybody else.
Yeah, pretty much. Except that role in Garros where it's Nadal, Djokovic, and everyone else.
Yeah, I mean,
ugh. All right, now I got to Google
this. Djokovic is going to win all five tournaments this year.
All right. Your fifth best players can never win an ATP Grand Slam. The first name on this list is already interesting to me. Guillermo Coria.
Don't know who that is.
He's an Argentinian. I actually know his name. He was top five career for a while. His best was number three. God, there's no way I say this right. Nikolay Davydenko.
Davydenko, I know, is really good.
Yeah, he was a career high number three, too. David Ferrer, interesting.
David Ferrer got to so many finals.
Never could do it. And again, he's top five career. He got to number three. Todd Martin.
Don't know who that is.
He played from 90 to 06, a little bit before we're really knowing sports. And he was number four career high. So this guy's played before our life ever. Miloslav Messer. Apparently he made a lot of finals or semis in his career number four.
Jesus.
David Nalbandian.
Nalbandian, I know. Yeah.
Number three. Yeah, this is a longer list than I expected. Okay, so this guy's name is Marcelo Rios. His career high ranking was number one, and he made only one final and three quarterfinals.
So he won all the smaller tournaments, but could never perform.
God, this name is a fucking throwback, man. I haven't thought about him in a while.
Who?
Soderling.
Oh shit.
Damn, and that was the last name on the list.
What a throwback! All right, shit. Well, damn. Wow. Okay.
Robin, Jesus, that was a good list. Most of those names that people play in Topspin, Topspin 2 on my Xbox. Coria's in there, Roddick, Hewitt, Henman.
There used to be a I like GameWorks or something in Vegas. There used to be a tennis arcade game, and it was Topspin. So I would just go and play as Andy Roddick or something. It would be right next to like the big like fish spin game or whatever. Oh. That was a good time.
I have my tossing her going. My guy in his second season, I made four of the finals in all four Grand Slams, and I lost in three of them.
Wait, is like, okay, so does it get like increasingly harder, like each round?
I mean, the players get better, so yeah. Fucking, I can't beat Roddick. I can't break him because his serve is too OP in the game.
Is his serve like the best?
Yeah, it's huge.
Jesus. Wait, so who's in the game? Is it like Federer, Nadal? I don't think Djokovic is in
No,
the
it's not Nadal. It's not Nadal.
It's before Nadal?
Yeah, it's an old one. It's Federer, Carlos Moya, Guillermo Correa, let's see, Lane Hewitt, Roddick, James Blake. Let's see, who else? There's a bunch of names I'm forgetting. Tim Henman. That's what I need to remember.
Okay, dude, I actually have a – this would be a really interesting game. Have I ever told you my perfect tennis video game, like the one that I would buy in an absolute instant?
Probably, but I don't remember.
Okay, so I'll tell you. So this will take a second. So my perfect game is like basically it goes through like the life of like a professional tennis player, right? So it'd be kind of like GTA in a little bit. And I would say, like, you start out in, like, junior tournaments. So you start out in, like, sectionals, and then, like, you move to nationals. And then you could play, like, a year of college tennis. You can, like, go to the pros, and it would be, like, futures and challengers and, like, then, like, the small majors. But, like, I feel like it would be a really good tennis game to show, like, to, like, have your player and obviously, like, exhibition matches with, like, ATP players or something. But like show like traveling and like developing like relationships or like just like doing something. It'd be like an RPG a little bit, but it's like,
I literally don't have the attention span to play that game. I just want to play professional tennis.
But like, you know what I mean? So like then like you'd have to like develop your player's career and like you have to like hire an agent. It'd be like, I feel like it'd be like NBA 2K with like how their player is in like college. And then you can
Go, like, 2K, draft, and then... you go through in like 5 minutes. That seems way too in depth.
I think it'd be cool. I think it'd be impressive to have like an in-depth tennis game because sometimes the tennis video games are just boring.
Topspin is fucking legendary. We'll not have Topspin slander.
No, like I know tennis video games can like be good, and but like sometimes they get way too easy. I don't know. It'd be that's like my whole thing. So like I'm kind of basing that idea off of Mario Power Tour, which is like the OG Game Boy game, and this kid's in like an academy and he has to go win like the Island Cup or something. Really funny.
That
really,
game really great was stuff. So dumb,
dude. I loved that game. I still play it to this day. I have my DS at my house in Carmel.
That game was so dumb.
I love it. It's so good. And also, oh my god, like all like the power shots, and then you go around like the campus and you get to go train on like the treadmill and make your player just literally insanely good. Oh, I love that game. I play that I still play that in Mario Kart DS all the time. I set all the records on Mario Kart DS. So you know how they have the DS like computer things, and then like one of like the records. One of my best tracks on Mario Kart DS is Peach Gardens, and it was on Mario Kart DS and Mario Kart Wii. And I swear to God, I've played thousands of races on that, and I cannot remember losing at Peach Gardens. And that is my one fun fact.
I could beat you at Peach Gardens,
dude. I murder everybody at Peach Gardens. I am so good at that track. You have no idea. It's just muscle memory. Like I can run laps in my mind at Peach Gardens.
I could beat you at Peach Gardens.
Fine, I'll fucking play you at Peach Gardens. I don't know where Peach Gardens is, or like on like that's playable other than my DS. But
I don't know. We'll find a way. We'll go to real life Peach Gardens.
Fuck, that'd be wild. Peach Gardens, fucking Rainbow Road. Don't get me talking about Yoshi Island.
Oh, got him. All right. And then finally, the Euros. If England wins, I hate soccer.
You're going to cry. I swear you can just hedge right now and you'll be fine.
Hedging is boring. Italy forever. Viva Italia. Fuck the English.
Dude, wait, where is the final? Because I know, it. Honestly, did you watch the game today? England and no. Denmark?
I watched.
It was wild.
The problem is with hedging in this, you gotta see if they release a line for just to win, because there's fucking ties in soccer.
No, yeah, you bet on somebody to win.
No, it's 90 minutes, bro. Then bet.
No, there's more bets to like advance and then like to win championships.
Yeah, they don't release a lot of those though. For the semis because it's the semis. There's, you know, only so much a team can do.
No, it's like whoever raises the trophy. Yeah, they can absolutely do that.
I know.
Guarantizzled. Well, oh my gosh. Well, like today's game, like fucking Harry Kane scored in like the 105th minute.
That should not have been a PK.
It should not have been, but I liked how he stopped it too, and then he was just like, suck it. Oh god. I honestly, if I find myself as I'm getting older wanting to get more and more into soccer.
Eh.
Like a little bit. Like I used to not pay attention to it, and now I'll watch. Now I will.
I'll pay attention to it when I gamble.
I need to learn how to gamble on soccer.
You bet on a team to win.
I know that, but like, yeah, like how to gamble well.
Gamble on good teams to win. Duh.
Duh. Obviously.
Go bet on Italy this weekend because Viva la Italia.
Viva Italia. Mundo.
Whatever. What is it? How would I say this? I Google translated Italy text the other day to say, let's go Italy, please win. It was, let's see if I can speak Italian better than I can speak English again.
Watch it actually be better.
Andiamo in Italia, per favore, vinci.
That was actually better than English.
I know. That's thanks to Google Translate, so it's probably wrong.
Nice job to cite your sources. Oh, dude, I remember using Google Translate for my Spanish homework literally every single day.
Oh, yeah, everything was wrong, too.
Oh, everything was horrible. I got a 90%. I'm like, I don't care. I bet every single student in that class had the exact same.
I once flunked a Spanish test. And my teacher accused me of cheating on it because she was like, you have similar answers to another student. I looked at her and I was go, Senora Carter, you think if I were to cheat, I would fail? Come on.
You have similar answers. Oh, my God.
I literally looked at her and I was like, listen, we studied together. That's why we have similar answers. I studied with him in our study hall class. We took the test in the room. We sat in different sides of the class. And I failed. Do you really think I would fail? And she's like, okay, it's kind of a fair point.
Oh my god. What a language. I tried to speak it for 14 years, from like when I was 4 to 18, and now I somehow know French better.
I know like 10 words in Spanish, and I took it for a while.
None of it retained, like at all.
Besides for the numbers, I literally know nothing.
Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, seis, siete, ocho, nueve, diez, once, doce. Yeah. Wow, what a language. Well, on that note, thank you guys for listening.
I also know the curse words in Spanish because I would yell them out during tennis matches.
Oh, yeah. I would. Dude, okay. I used to scream words in different languages.
Oh god, I would always scream vamos.
I would scream ale. Ale.
I did that too. My favorite though was I looked at a kid and I said fuck you. Just said it in English because I just didn't like him.
Fuck you. No, okay. One of my best roast on a tennis court was So this guy was like yelling at himself, and this is like one of the best matches of my career. This guy missed a first serve, and he screamed, "My first serve percentage is lower than my GPA." And then he double faults, and I said, "So is your second serve percentage."
That's good. That's a good one.
Then it's just all downhill from there. But oh.
That kid can't recover from that, man. That kid can't
recover from that. No, absolutely not. It's karma, and I'm really happy about it. I did win that match. I won 7-5, 5-7, 10-8.
Ew, 10-point tiebreakers.
10-point tiebreakers and like in sectional and nationals should not be a thing. It should just be a straight up third set.
Yeah, agreed.
I don't even know. Whatever. But So again, on that note, after story time, thank you guys again for listening to another episode of the Drop a Deuce podcast. My name is Daniel Keenis. I'm here with my co-host Frank Todd. Frank, do you have any last things to say?
Andiamo Italia.
All right, guys. See you soon.